Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nice to be home. Oh, it's been a lot of travel and been great, amazing. I finished 12 solid days of ministry from, where did I go first? I flew off to Grand Prairie up to Grimshaw. We ministered up in Grimshaw, Alberta. That's our newest ministry outreach, starting out as a worship center, absolutely amazing, called the River Junction, and ministered multiple times up there and with some of the local churches. From there, flew back a week and a half ago on Monday, and you know what? Let's just stop for a moment. Can we just all stand? I just want to pray for the family and loved ones of our fallen officer, a veteran that needs to be remembered. In line of duty, I believe that every police force is part of our security structure of our nations, and we just need to just to pray for his family, Officer Davidson, and just to remember his family, the grieving. I mean, I think he was only a short time away from retirement, and he was the first officer ever killed in Abbotsford. So, Father, we just lift up Officer Davidson, John Davidson's family. We ask you, Lord God, to comfort them, touch them, let them celebrate their dad, their husband, life of an amazing officer that he was. We pray, Lord God, for all the grieving friends all over the place. And we pray, Lord God, that even though that was the first officer to be taken in Abbotsford, that no more will be taken in Jesus' name. We pray for safety in our streets. We truly believe the revival we experience here is not to be carried only in the building, is to be taken out, and we see revival in our communities, in our cities, in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen, amen. So just a tremendous amount of travel, and I think I had my truck parked in the airport a week and a half ago. I flew in to Vancouver. I've never actually transited in Vancouver Airport. Usually when I come home to Vancouver, I fly into Vancouver, I get in my vehicle, and I drive home. But this time, I didn't go to my truck. Sharon was there, and we drove down to Bethel with Willis and Linda. Amazing. We had a blast down there. I flew out a week ago, Friday morning. I left at 6 a.m. I was up at 3, and I arrived at 6:30 in Regina p.m., and they had me minister that night, Friday night a little bit, and then Saturday night, at Full Gospel Businessmen's National Convention. Was just amazing, and then ministered with First Nations, Pipikisis, First Nation area, and the area there is an apostolic man. He covers other ministries, and just thank the Lord, he's actually now become part of our network. They asked if they could be spiritually covered by Windward, so now we're in Saskatchewan. So absolutely amazing, and what God's doing, we're not asking for this, but yet our heart, hunger, desire, God provides and gives things even though you don't ask. When our hearts are right, he gives us things even though you don't ask for them. Because if we always go to him asking for something, help me with this, God, give me strength to do this, it's kind of like when a two-year-old keeps asking you, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I feel like the Lord is saying, you are there. You are there. And when we celebrate his presence and his glory in our lives, he knows the desire of our heart because our heart becomes his desire. And when our heart becomes his desire to the fullness, we understand that you receive things even when you don't ask. You know how much that makes a papa happy? When you can give something to your kids when they haven't asked for it, but you know they want it. I love it. I love it. That's what we're called to be with Papa, with Daddy. Amen? So from there, I flew back. When did I fly back? Sometime Tuesday night or Wednesday or whatever. And good to be here. I'm excited to be here. And I just felt like the fire of God was on us this morning. I've ministered in this subject before, and I really felt to minister again in it because reality doesn't change faith. Faith has to change reality. If we feel that the reality around us, and David and Kristen, amazing, from Kelowna, BC. David, just stand up. One of the young prophets that we help mentor and pour into as well. And thank you, David. Awesome to have you and Kristen's around with precious little baby and internally another little baby on its way. Praise God. Congratulations. That's awesome. Families are building, amen, and growing. David actually opened up the Philippines for me. And that's how I got there, was through David and Kristen's connection in the Philippines. And they invited me over there this last, was that June or May? May. And it's absolutely amazing. Love the Philippines. So faith cannot ignore reality. Faith changes reality. So when we need a shift and a change in our hearts and in our lives, it takes faith. If you truly have faith, it will change the reality in front of you. If it doesn't change the reality, then your faith is weaker than the reality. In the kingdom of heaven, reality is a different established perspective than reality on earth. There's two forms of reality, and you get to choose which one you follow and which one you believe in. In the kingdom of heaven at hand, the one that's touchable to us, that kingdom presence of God, that touchable power, that touchable authority that is upon us, in that reality, there is no war. The angels aren't fighting the demons. There is no war. The angels already defeated the demons. The only battle that rages right now in the earthly reality is the battle between our free will, whether or not we're going to hear and obey what the enemy is saying, or we're going to be consumed with the issues and problems of this world. But the reality of the kingdom has no issues and has no problems. There are already solutions, they're already solved. Every miracle, every established good thing is already in this kingdom of heaven. And so there's two realities. Our faith brings us into the kingdom reality of heaven, which already overpowers the realities of this earth. It's how a pistol can be held to my forehead and pulled four times, and the pistol misfired four times. You see, the reality of the faith that was in me at that time, my fire touched with heaven's fire, because I was fired up. We just released 100 Bethel students into Tijuana, Mexico. I was on fire. We just prayed over them all right downtown Tijuana. Prayed over them all, just released them. I was on fire. And that fire touched heaven's fire, which defeated the reality of earthly understanding. When the firing pin hits the bullet or hits the cartridge, it should fire. It didn't four times. Why? Because the faith of the kingdom of heaven at hand, that faith in our heart, that choice of faith, you know, faith isn't something you ask for. Faith is an understanding you believe in. I want more faith. No, you have to choose faith. No, I need more faith. Lord, help me, strengthen me with more faith. Well, the reality is the more we ask God to strengthen us in faith, the more we're telling him we don't have enough faith. We have got to have the understanding that his understanding has no faith. The kingdom of heaven, this isn't even on my notes. I'm just forgetting them right now. The kingdom of heaven has no faith. It doesn't need faith. It has understanding. So the kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ needing to get to the other side of the lake, and his disciples were already halfway across. So the kingdom understanding, it didn't take faith for Jesus to walk on water. It took the understanding and wisdom of the kingdom that he just experienced all night with his father on the mountaintop to just keep walking and to walk to the other side. The faith is what the disciples needed in the boat, because they said, is this a ghost? What is this? But one had greater faith. Why do we need to have faith? Because our human understanding, our free will, has to choose something. We either choose faith or unbelief. Well, if you choose God, you're going to lose something. You'll lose your unbelief. If you live in unbelief, then you haven't fully chosen God. If you believe you're called to do something, but you really don't think you can, and how do you know you don't think you can? Because you're not doing it. If you know you're supposed to do something, but you're not, you're actually walking without faith. But if you walk in the kingdom of heaven, you don't need faith because you just do what you're supposed to do. Because that's your call. A son, a daughter in a family, when they're truly walking in the love of the family under the covering of mama and papa, what they truly do is they know they're supposed to do something, they just do it if they truly have the understanding of the love for their mother and father. Now, I'm not talking about a bad relationship. There's bad dads and there's bad moms that have failed tremendously, and I'm one of the ones that failed. I'm not perfect all the time. I remember failing one time. I'm just kidding, just kidding. I always tell my kids, you know, thank you for teaching me how to become a parent, because I never knew how before that. I only knew what someone else did. But what someone else did didn't take faith on my part. It only took faith when I had to do it myself. We can always watch what the revivalist does, but it doesn't take faith to watch a revivalist. What takes faith is for you to become the revivalist. And if you really think about it, it doesn't take faith. It just takes an understanding and a willingness to be committed into the level that doesn't need faith. Faith gets you in the door, but faith shouldn't be, you got to be careful, it sounds so blasphemous. Faith shouldn't be a lifestyle. This sounds wrong, doesn't it? But please listen to my heart. I'm sure someone's going to cut and paste it. Brent doesn't believe you need faith. I'm trying to bring a perspective that of course we need faith, but once you have faith, do you still need faith? I'm not saying that once you understand the kingdom of heaven that you understand it all and you don't need more. It's the increase of faith that brings a greater understanding. But it doesn't bring you into the family. Faith through grace brought us into the family. But you don't have to have faith to come into the family when you're already in the family. You don't have to have faith to be a family. So once you've experienced the level that you're supposed to be in, now you need faith for the next level. But if you need faith to continue in the level you're in, then you haven't really experienced the level you're supposed to be. Are we okay? It sounds good to me. We're saved by grace, of course. What is the grace? Grace of God. The grace of God to send his one and only Son into this world for your and my sins and the sins of this world. That's the grace of God. In his grace, it encompasses his whole understanding of who he is, his love. Everything exudes from his grace. That grace that set us free. We need faith to step into the grace. But what level of grace do we step into? Let's just say there's 100 levels of grace. It's unlimited levels of grace. But let's just put a number on it, because our minds, some of us are more mathematical thinkers that we need to have an understanding. Let's just say there's 100 levels of grace. Your faith to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior brought you into level one. If that's where you stay, you actually don't need faith for that anymore unless you keep falling out of his family. Well, now you're starting to say once a Christian, always a Christian, or you can lose your salvation. I don't care how you look at it, just be saved. Because whether or not the theology of loss of salvation or once a Christian, always a Christian, whether or not whatever you believe in that theology, it doesn't create a separation. If it does, it's created called denominationalism. And denominationalism creates separation. It creates co-adherence to the rules and regulations of one family. But the reality is I don't believe some of the theologies of denominationalism is going to get you saved any more than another. Now, if one's going to get you more into the will of God in your life, then praise God, follow it. It's great. But we need to have the understanding that our faith has moved us into the commitment with Jesus Christ through salvation. You actually don't need that faith anymore, because that's level one. You need to now move to level two of your faith structure. The higher we move into our faith structure level, the deeper we go into the kingdom of heaven that doesn't need faith. So if you start to think about it, the more mature we become as believers in Jesus, the less faith we need, because the more understanding we carry. The more understanding we carry when he speaks, we do, instead of needing faith for the spoken word. It becomes an intimacy with God. It's like my wife and I have been married 29 years. Love her till death do us part. Those are choices that we have made in life, in marriage. It's a legit covenant. I'm starting to understand her more and more. She understands me more and more. And that's hard to understand me. There's only one woman on the face of this earth, I think, that could handle it, and that's my wife. we don't have to always ask each other things anymore. We just have an understanding. So if I ask Sharon, I'm going to step out in faith and ask her something. Sharon, are you going to drive the car tomorrow to work? I'm stepping out in faith with a question, asking. The understanding is I know she's going to drive the car, so I don't actually have to ask her that question anymore. So when we have a greater understanding of God, who he is, his kingdom come, his will be done in our lives, we actually stop asking questions of a 2-year-old. We start asking the questions of a 15, 20, 30-year-old, whatever we are. Because if we keep going back, what happens is a lot of people always fall back and resort back. And so they're re-giving their life to Jesus and then re-giving their life to Jesus. They're in the cycle of a low level of faith. But that faith through grace sets us free. And so the increased levels aren't a good terminology. Depth might be better. So the deeper we step into the faith that we already believe and know, the less we're going to be at that level, that depth of level of faith, we need to go deeper into it. Am I making it clear? I've repeated it a lot, but I feel it's an important perspective. Because we will never advance if we stay where we were and do the same thing. If we do the same thing that we've always done and you expect something better, it's actually fit the terminology of insanity in Webster's dictionary. Insanity is this, to continue to do the same thing but expect a different result. It's called insanity. So if we as Christians come here on a Sunday morning expecting to do the same thing but expect revival, we're actually insane in a bad way. We're not called here to come and do the same thing. We're called here to come with what we learned last week to increase us for this week, to come with a greater understanding, a greater revelation, a greater truth in us, a greater passion in us, a greater love in us. So when we leave this house, we receive more. When we leave this house, we actually walk out changed of increase than when we came in from last week's service. If the problems are consuming our lifestyle, then we have to figure out where did we leave faith or where did we leave Jesus. If the pains, the problems, and the issues of life consume us, we have to figure out where did we leave Jesus? Where did we leave Holy Spirit? Because somewhere we left him behind. Problems are not designed to consume us. Any problem that happens in our life, any issue of negativity or whatever happens in our life, gives us the opportunity to excise the kingdom of hand understanding and overcome the problem. Might not mean that you have the solution, but it means the problem won't bring you out of the solution. Okay. When a problem comes at us, let's just say, I don't know, it was a car accident, and it wasn't your fault. It was someone else. If it's your fault, well, then that's the problem. If it was someone else's fault and they smashed your car, first of all, you walked away completely unharmed. First level of praise right there. Father, thank you. I walked away unharmed. Now, the average man's going to go, I can't believe you just wrecked my car. That thing I've polished and waxed and cleaned and thought about. You just walked away unscathed and unharmed, or you walked away with a broken arm. Praise the Lord, I'm still breathing. Thank you, Lord, this arm can heal in Jesus' name. But thank you, Father. What happens is people start to say, well, the devil created the accident, or God, this is even worse, God allowed the accident to teach me something. That's kind of like saying, I allow my son to walk off the cliff to teach him something. What? No father does that. God didn't allow this to happen, but what happened, happened. And so because of that, he wants you to learn and grow through the season of testing, through that season of growth. So the accident actually becomes a learning experience on how to respond and what to praise the Lord for instead of the negativity of it. Does that make sense? Okay, I better read a scripture. Matthew 6:33, verse 34. We know the scripture inside and out. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry. Who do you think Jesus is talking to right now? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the answer for verse 34. Verse 33 is the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And don't worry. Worry, things are going to happen and they'll take care of themselves. But if we seek the kingdom of heaven, what happens in the kingdom of heaven is totally different, and it changes the reactions of the earthly realm into the spiritual realm, and there's something that we will learn and grow through every situation that comes our way. The problem is so much of the church holds everybody accountable for their past sins and isn't willing to take the plank out of their own eye, and they're always looking at the speck in someone else's. And we need to remember that if we hold someone accountable for their past, then who's holding you accountable? What door does that open up in our own life to be held accountable for our past? Well, I'll tell you what, God is not holding you and me accountable for our past sins. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven and set free. Your sins are no longer there. They have been thrown across the seas into the deepest of oceans to never be remembered again. So when we hold someone accountable for their past sin, I'm not talking about justice. Someone murders and kills someone, they deserve justice, absolutely. But if that murderer comes out and we hold them accountable, they've got transformed, changed life, and we hold them accountable and we say, kids, stay away, that's a murderer, kids, stay away. What we're doing is we're actually condemning the person for a past sin that's already been forgiven if they've been saved through Jesus Christ. And what we do is we create a culture of condemnation and lack of forgiveness instead of a culture of forgiveness and freedom and restoration. We need to have a faith level that increases so we can actually forgive others as Christ has already forgiven them. Our faith is not so much about doing miracles. I would venture to say you don't need faith to do miracles. You just need to live in his kingdom. If we need to build up and conjure our faith to become powerful, then we're looking for the wrong faith. Then we're looking for a sign and a wonder to justify and prove who we are. But a sign and a wonder doesn't justify and prove who you are. The only proving that we need to do is who we are in Christ Jesus, and that's between you and me and not for everybody else. Because that release of who we are in Jesus Christ, who we are in Father God, who we are with the Holy Spirit empowering us, it doesn't take faith to see the sick healed. It just takes faith to go into the kingdom. I know it doesn't sound right, does it? Of course we have to have faith. Please don't get me wrong. I know the scripture's on faith, absolutely. But the faith cannot stay where it is or was 20 years ago. The faith has to be increasing. But again, in the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't take faith. They don't have faith. There's no scripture where it says, Jesus, you need to wake up today and have an increased level of faith. He has all knowing. He has all understanding. When you have all knowing and understanding, it doesn't take faith to understand more because you already understand it all. So the farther we go in to the kingdom of heaven at hand, the farther we go in, we start to feel our identity and see our identity. And what starts to happen is the disciples all of a sudden, you know, in Luke, they start talking back and forth and they start saying, who's greater than I'm greater than you are? But Jesus doesn't stop them for that. He you know what? Gavin, I'm powerful. I'm powerful. Who is that guy? Oh, I'm just speaking identity. You're powerful. Are you powerful, Kevin? He's powerful. Don, are you powerful? How are you powerful? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Amen.
Oh, but I'm a dirty, wretched sinner. Carrying my cross every day.
Yeah. It's a good expression right there. Not laughter because you carry the cross, but laughter because you're not supposed to carry it. Jesus carried it for you. Hallelujah. If Jesus carried it for you, then what cross do you have to carry?
But you don't understand. I can't pay my mortgage. I got no food.
Why can't you pay your mortgage? You don't have food. I'll tell you a very simple principle we always speak and teach about in business. Money and needs. If they don't line up, those numbers, You'll always be in want, or you'll feel you've got enough. The problem is sometimes more money makes you feel like you still don't have enough. And some of the wealthiest people in the world think they don't have enough. That's called the love of money. But I will guarantee you one thing. You have hands to work. You have biblical scripture understanding. You live in the kingdom of heaven at hand in your own lifestyle. That's a choice. It's not an experience. The choice creates the experience. My choice to marry my wife was a choice. We made a covenant 29 years ago together. The experience of true love came after I made the choice. It wasn't the infatuation I felt and the beauty I saw in her. It was the true love that I chose, that she chose, actually had me experience true love. So when we have a relationship with God, it's the choice that we have in relationship with him that actually brings us to the understanding of his true love for us. If we don't have his true love for us, then we're always working to, we're always striving for something if we don't have his true love. So you've got needs in your family, food on the table, expenses, everything else, and you've got money. Somehow or another, these things have got to come to a balance. Hopefully, this becomes an increase. In the kingdom of heaven, this will always become an increase. Why? Because the provision and favor of God is not relative to finances. The provision and favor of God is relative to intimacy with him. The provision and favor of God is relative to the family you are in his presence. It doesn't mean you sit at home. It means you actually understand the word of God. Now, there's severe situations that happen. Don't get me wrong. There's people that are on disability. There's widows. There's orphans. Absolutely. That's where the government kicks in. The churches, you know, kick in and help people out. But the reality is if this need overpowers your lifestyle, then this level of finances drops automatically because the favor of God is not on this level. If you live in a lifestyle of poverty mentality, you cannot understand and live in the lifestyle of all things are possible. Amen. There has to be a shift of change in our poverty mentality to bring us into the understanding of victory, freedom, and favor. That's what I'm trying to say. There's people that are in this because of circumstances and situations, absolutely. But I guarantee you, God has the answer. All we need to do is literally empower more of his presence into us, and this will bring us to this level, start to rise again. If we're not advancing in life, let's find out why. We should be the smartest, we should be the wealthiest people, not financially only, but I believe that we're supposed to be wealthy financially too. Because the poor, poverty, wretched sinner Jesus took to the cross and killed. He became poor so you and I could become He became weak so you and I could become strong. He was mocked and beaten and bruised so you and I could walk in victory. He became the sacrifice for our increase. That's the reality. That's the reality. He became the sacrificial lamb. For what? Just for your sin? No. That's step one. Because if we don't take step one into salvation, we can't expect the blessings and favor of the Lord. But as we take step one and open the door of the kingdom of heaven to our lifestyle, we now open the door. Do you open it a little bit? I actually believed truly saved, born-again people have more fire than sometimes 20, 30-year-old saved people. I'm feeling that we're in the season of preparation for the radical unsaved to start coming into this house. And we're gonna get a little bit disturbed sometimes. Especially if we're older, things will start popping up. You know, whoa, look at the young ones. Make sure they don't take over. You know what the reality is we're parenting. We're called to be parents. And I wanna see our young sons and daughters become everything they're called to be. Of course they're not taking over the household. Talk to my children. Did they take over our household? Absolutely not. But they became an extension of the foundational structure that we believe as husband and wife that we believe they have taken that structure. And now our oldest daughter is married, Samantha and Chris. And they have taken that structure. She's taken from her family structure. He's taken from his amazing godly structure. And these two amazing godly kids got married. Guess what a structure they're going to create? It's going to be amazinger. It'll be amazinger. And that's my expectation. They're going to live a structure amazinger than what we did. My faith, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it was a commitment and a covenant that I made for life. Did I make some mistakes along the way? Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you that by grace, I'm saved. But when we start to out grace, then we start to doubt the understandings of God. And when we don't have grace for each other, how do you know if you're doubting grace? Listen to what you say about others, especially ones that have fallen. Because if you speak poorly about that, I guarantee you, you're doubting grace. I do not want to doubt grace, and I do not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I already forgive you all for whatever you might do, which I hope has only become greater than me. And I don't just forgive you for that. I just open the door and say, please go higher. I already forgive you for the sins. Maybe some of you are going to leave the church one day. You're going to be upset at us or something like that. I already forgive you. I know how much that hurts. You can just talk to my wife and I about how much it hurts when you pour into someone and then they just up and leave without a conversation, without nothing. We have no idea. You know how much that hurts? I've already forgiven them. I forgive you too. I'm praying you never leave. But I already forgive you. I have to forgive you. Because if I don't, I don't know how I can walk in my own forgiveness. I'm already ready for the restoration of people that are supposed to be here that are no longer here. I'm ready for them all to come back and be restored back into this house again with power and authority and glory. If they're called to be here, they need to be here. If they're called to be in another family, they need to be in that family. But you don't just up and choose your families left and right. It actually creates a dysfunctional child. Really, with an orphan heart. You see, a choice to be a part of a family is a commitment. It's a covenant. It's a commitment you make. Unless you're truly a son and a daughter and you didn't choose your family, God chose it for you. Even that dad that wasn't there for you, he chose that you would be born into a family. It's just the decisions of your dad or your mom that weren't there for you. They weren't your choices. They were their choices. And they weren't God's choices. They were their choices. You can't live in the understanding of someone's bad choices. You have to live in the understanding of the good God's choices and created who you are and who I am. I believe that we need to take our faith, and however you can increase it, increase it. But just remember, the more you increase, the less faith it takes to increase. The more you step into his kingdom understanding, the more you step into the identity of sonship and daughtership in your own lifestyle, the more we step into that, the less faith it takes to get up on a Sunday morning and get here. The less faith it takes to go get something accomplished, because God has already given you the open door and the power and the authority to get the job done. When our lifestyle understands these concepts, that nagging little sin, hidden sins that aren't so hidden, believe me, pretty hard to hide anything in the kingdom of heaven, especially to the all-knowing one. But those nagging little hidden sins start to fall off your back because you step into a greater understanding of his kingdom come, his will be done in our life on earth as it is in heaven. Let's all stand. Is this the last day for these boxes? Or bring them in this week on Tuesday? Or huh? Bring him in by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday here. Because not Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You could leave him at the front door, but someone else might grab him, but bless them as well, too. Many of us have traveled to many nations and countries. Some of these kids, they just needed faith to keep breathing. I've held some of them that have died, passed away. I've hugged them and kissed them and loved on them. I felt like a father loving their own child, to find out they passed away the next day with AIDS. I just pray, Father, that every box is a blessing. It will be a blessing to these children that have such need. They actually have a greater need than we do in this country. And I'm not saying we don't have needy people. I'm just saying our system's a whole lot better than some of the lawless systems of these nations. I pray, Father, that these toys, these things in these boxes will bless them abundantly. I pray, Father, that every person that packs one of these boxes will send their love and blessings with it. In Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, I pray, Lord God, that we will not live a lifestyle of a needy child in our spiritual life. Please listen to what I'm saying. Jesus used children as an example. The children that he used probably were children that had amazing families and parents. I have no idea what children. He said to become like this little child with childlike faith. Because most little kids aren't fearful. If they have a mom and a dad, they're not fearful of the life in front of them. I remember holding our own children at 2, 3, 4 years old, and they weren't thinking, when am I going to eat my next meal? Wonder if I'm going to go home and there'll be electricity on in the house. They just didn't seem to think about that much. All they thought about was food and getting their way. You know what was neat? To watch the transformation of my own children. That getting their own way at 2 years old shifted in their 10, 12, 13-year-old lifestyle. And it shifted to making sure the family gets its way. I had our kids lay hands on Sharon and I and pray for increased favor and blessing. I've had our kids prophesy over us. As little children, they prophesy over us. Sharon and I would be praying, Lord, where's the next finance that's coming? We're out in the mission field and our van engine broke. And the kids never seem to lose the faith. They say, oh, it's okay, Daddy. God will provide like he always has. Yeah, I'm going bald because I'm ripping my hair out. Yeah, put your hands on your head. We need faith like a child. But not the lifestyle of a child in need. We need faith like a child in the lifestyle of children in his kingdom, which has all things provided. And so I pray here today, Father, I pray, Lord God, that our faith doesn't stay with what it was. Our faith increases into the areas of your kingdom, of your presence, of your word, to where our faith with knowledge becomes wisdom by application. Because Father God, we don't really need an increased faith. We just need an increased understanding. We need an increased of your wisdom, taking the knowledge that we're learning on Sundays, that we read in our Bibles, our Bible studies, in our Winsome Light classes, taking knowledge that we get from reliable sources on the internet. I have to be careful and make sure we say reliable sources on the internet, because not everything we hear on the internet is reliable, okay? Matter of fact, not everything we hear on the internet is the word. Make sure it's a reliable source. And we don't just hear it and do nothing with it. We hear what we're learning, because that's called knowledge. But wisdom only comes when you apply knowledge wisely. You can't have wisdom by knowledge. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is applying your knowledge wisely. So we take what we know, we take what we've learned, and we now apply it wisely. And I will guarantee you, it creates a life without unbelief. If you don't have unbelief in your life, how much faith do you need? by grace, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again 3 days. And now has all power and authority of heaven and earth. And the disciples waited in Acts chapter, early chapters of Acts, they waited for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came. So now, by your grace, Father, we have the risen Savior in us. And we have the promise of the Holy Spirit in us. By your grace. And by our faith, we made the choice to become saved through Jesus Christ. And we, by our choice, by faith in us, we had the strength to make the choice to become filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that we don't live a lifestyle. I so sound so wrong, but I have to say it. We don't live a lifestyle where we have to increase our faith. We live a lifestyle where our increased faith walks in understanding. Understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Of course we have to build faith. We have to build faith. But if we build faith without coming into the understanding, then we don't have the wisdom of what we just built in our faith. And I feel like the Lord is so impressing upon me. I'm messed up inside right now. That if we just keep doing church, then we just become a great doing church of doing not much. We can't just keep doing church. We have got to come into a greater wisdom of what our faith has brought us into. You increase in faith, I guarantee you, you'll take knowledge into wisdom. When you live in that wisdom of understanding, your faith will increase to take it into the level of wisdom from knowledge again. And that's our lifestyle. It's not resorting back to the faith we once had. It's resorting back to the new faith we need to step ourselves into a greater understanding of the wisdom of the lifestyle of the kingdom of heaven. And this is what I ask, Father, that every one of us today gets so radically messed up that every day is a day of increased faith to bring us the outcome of increased of kingdom. But that we don't wake up tomorrow with the same faith level or depth that we had today. But we wake up tomorrow with an increased faith level, which has brought the knowledge into wisdom of understanding. I pray, Lord God, that somehow or another this message has come across clear. Because, Father, I didn't write it down. I didn't prepare it. You spoke it, Father. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that the clarity that you have called it to be will be the clarity for each person to hear, that everyone has heard the message, that they will encourage them and strengthen them to become greater. By becoming less, they become greater. Because it's your way, Father. And your way is the best way. And the ways of this world, they don't always work right. But your way is the best way. And it's your way that I want to follow and choose to follow. And it doesn't take me as much faith as it used to. Because, Lord God, you've opened my eyes to see such miraculous things that I never had faith for before. But now I have understanding it's a reality. I pray, Lord God, that you open our eyes to see that our faith has set us free. That our faith in Jesus has set us free. And free indeed we are in him, in us, this day. For this is the day that you have made, Lord. And we choose, because I feel like the Lord says, when you live in me, you don't choose happiness, you are happy. We are happy in this day that you have made. And we rejoice and we are glad in it. Because this day, we've gone higher, deeper into your presence. And I know, Lord, in my own life of testimony, when I choose by faith to step deeper, I go deeper. I feel like the Lord is saying, don't think that what my son is talking about to you, don't think with an understanding of expectation alone, but think with an understanding of knowing, because in the knowing it answers the expectation. Don't think that it has to be an experiential. Don't think that you have to feel the drunkenness of the Spirit upon you right now. You might, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a knowledge turning to wisdom, which is understanding and applying the knowledge wisely. Know that you are changed today. Know that I am God, says the Lord. Know that I have given you power and authority, says the Lord. Know that you are my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. Know that you are loved, says the Lord. And so do I. In Jesus' name. In the name above all names. Just push in right now. I'm just feeling it in my heart. I can see revelations coming to people. Visions. Maybe you're entering a vision right now. Someone's in a field. I can see them walking in a field. Running through this field in a vision. And it's a vision I've seen many times in my own life. And off in the distance, there's a tree in this field. It's a valley of a field. And there's a little cabin off to the distance on your right. But you're running towards the shade of this beautiful tree. And you see this man standing there. And he's looking with excitement at you. And you're looking at excitement with him. And you're running. And you realize you're running to Jesus. And as soon as you realize who he is, he runs to you. And he grabs you and you embrace each other and you hug each other and love each other. The love of a father and a son and a daughter is what I see for you and for me. In Jesus' name.